Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities. Coming up is an event that's got a lot of people talking and excited. Not only is Sean Sherman going to be a guest at the Indigenous Food Expo, the first public large-scale event of this kind. Annie Humphrey is also going to be there, and basically everybody's excited, I think, because it's really fabulous food. Joining us this morning is Mary Villard with ACO, and she's here to tell us a little bit more about it. Hey, Mary, good morning. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Must be a lot of excitement down there getting ready for a really big event like this. What, just remind me, the Indigenous First Market, is that market open to the public yet or not? Folks are going to get all excited about Indigenous foods, and I'm just wondering if they're going to have a place they can go and find these things now.
Yeah, so Indigenous First is actually the title of our gift shop.
Oh, that's the gift shop.
The Newman Market is going to be the market that we open.
Got it.
And the plan is for hopefully by the end of next year, we'll have something open as far as a retail space. So that's kind of part of what this event is sort of leading up to, is the promotion of a campaign that we're going to be launching to fundraise to support the development of the market.
So let's talk a little bit about the Indigenous Foods Expo. It was so interesting. I talked with Sean Sherman several years ago now. I lose track of time. And he was the one who pointed out how much of what we have up until now thought of as indigenous food. In this part of the world, of course, we're a little bit more savvy because there are so many local producers of some really fabulous food. But he said, fry bread, he said, people got lard, they got flour. They made, you know, as a commodity, they made fry bread. He said, that is not indigenous food. Although I think he did admit that he likes fry bread as well as the next guy. But talking about indigenous foods and the resurgence, I don't even want to say resurgence, I want to say this surge of interest in indigenous foods. Talk about that a little bit, and what kinds of foods are we talking about?
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of, even for myself, learning about the history of the food in the Americas. Essentially, indigenous foods are in reference to all the foods that people lived off of for thousands of years, you know, here prior to European contact. And it's just interesting, I guess, you know, things like tomatoes and potatoes and, you know, locally we have wild rice and maple syrup. These are all different foods that people lived off of. And for, you know, the ones I mentioned before, like tomatoes and stuff, they were exported after, you know, European contact. And now they're staples sort of around the world. And it's just kind of interesting to think that so much of the world's food is, you know, originated here. And there's not a lot of access to the knowledge linked to those foods, you know, they're associated with other places now, but it's just been really interesting to meet with all these indigenous foragers and food producers and people who have that sort of knowledge and want to share it with the community and with, you know, the non-Native community as well.
One of the things that was interesting that I thought was interesting about Arnie Vineo's latest essay on our air that aired last week at this time about Manuman is he talked about the importance of buying wild rice locally, and he said if you know the lake where it was harvested, that's even better. So there seems like the idea is that there's a lot of the piece of knowing where food came from and the idea that it is local that is an important part of the conversation about indigenous food as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, there, you know, in today's day and age, there's sort of a mainstream culture of just not knowing where things come from. And across indigenous cultures, you know, that's kind of a almost, I guess, a foreign concept. It's not something that you would traditionally find. You know, people always knew the connection and the story behind, you know, where their food comes from. And that's why it's, I guess, so significant for Indigenous people to have access to this history again, but for other people to kind of take a look and see, like, you know, who are the people in their community that they're supporting as far as, you know, where their food comes from and where different products come from. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of conversation about mindfulness, and it's not a bad concept as these things go, to stop in the middle of what you're doing and pay attention to what you're doing. But it sounds as though this idea of mindfulness, in the sense that I know the story behind this food, or as Arnie mentioned again in his piece, I know the prayers that go with this food. I know who harvested this food. I know where it came from. It sounds like there is some mindfulness already built into that view of food.
Right. Yep. And it's also, you know, I guess having a relationship with your food also, I don't know, it makes it healthier. It's a part of, you know, just having healthy relationships with the world, you know, and with your existence.
So who is going to be welcome at the Indigenous Foods Expo? Obviously, Native folks from all over the community, and probably are going to be traveling in from some other places to enjoy the event. But who's welcome?
It's open to everybody. So it'll be open to the public. It's a free event. It's going to be taking place all throughout the park in Central Hillside. And there'll be just tons of activities for basically all ages, from really young to a lot older. So,
well, and of course, what I'm concerned about is what kind of food is going to be there, because I'm guessing there's going to be all kinds of goodies that folks can either taste test for the first time, or, you know, meals being served, that kind of stuff. What are some of the foods that we can look forward to there?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So there's just going to be tons of food. There's going to be different Indigenous teas. Those would be teas made with, you know, items that are foraged locally. There'll be fish, there'll be wild rice, maple syrup, all sorts of different things. It's going to be really great. And we're going to have, the hope is to have some food trucks, and also to have, you know, different entrepreneurs selling their products at vendor booths. And then we'll also have live demos of people processing food. And then, of course, Sean Sherman and Brian Yazzie are two chefs who will be performing a cooking demo at the Neiman Market in that space.
So, oh, fantastic.
You kind of get to see all different parts of the process at this event.
So that definitely is going to get the interest kind of stoked a little bit for folks wanting the Neiman Market to open. It sounds like it's going to be a blast. September 21st is the date for the Indigenous Food Expo, and I like the fact that you mentioned tea. It could be warm and beautiful. It could be a little bit chilly, but there's going to be all kinds of different teas to help you stay warm. We'll get a link set up so folks can find more information. Mary, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Mary Villard, our guest this morning, she's with ACO, and they are sponsoring the Indigenous Food Expo, September 21st. We'll get some links set up on our website so folks can find out more information. Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School, Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving healthcare access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.